A strange case. As a police detective, I've seen and heard many strange and unusual things. I suppose that after 40 years of service, this is only to be expected. However, I thought nothing could surprise me. That was until I met Mr. Perch. Poor old Perch. A tall, elegant man. I'll never forget him. When he came to the police station one morning and told me his incredible story, I confess I thought he was senile. He told me that he was going to be murdered later that night. I thought he had invented the story just to get some attention, and this made me feel sorry for him. There was something about him that reminded me of my Uncle Henry. They had the same walk and the same way of speaking. Clear and precise. I couldn't send him away. It was almost lunchtime, so I asked him to stay for a while and chat. He was an intelligent man. We talked about all sorts of things. Politics, the Second World War, even the weather. I remember wondering why a man like him had become obsessed with this idea of murder. When he told me that he was a widower, I understood. He also had no children and no relatives. He was completely alone. I offered him a cup of coffee, but he refused. He said that he had to go. But first, he made me promise not to look for his murderer. He added that his wife had appeared to him in a dream and had told him what was going to happen to him. I asked him if he wanted protection and promised to send him someone later that evening. When he refused, I lost my patience. I had enough cases to solve without worrying about crimes that had not yet been committed. Perch stood up and turned to leave. He said that he did not want protection. He was looking forward to seeing his wife again. He was so convincing that I almost believed him. Through the glass door, I could see Marshall coming towards my office. He was holding the report that I was waiting for. I signalled for him to wait outside, then I accompanied Perch to the door. He kept repeating that after his death, he did not want us to look for the murderer. It was a waste of time, he said. The criminal would get the punishment that he deserved. As I opened the door, I asked him why. Why should someone want to murder him? Did he have any enemies? When he pulled out a thick wad of banknotes from his pocket, I was shocked. I told him that he was looking for trouble and advised him to go to the bank and deposit the money before he went home. He just laughed. The last thing he said before leaving was,
"Man cannot change his destiny."
I watched him leave and wondered if I would ever see him again. When Marshall came into my office, I told him about Perch's visit. Marshall was new and did not have much experience. I thought he would laugh at Perch's story, but he didn't. He seemed quite worried. He asked me for the old man's address and offered to go and see if he needed anything. I was surprised and pleased at his offer, but I didn't really think it was necessary for him to go and see Perch. Work kept me busy for most of the day, and I forgot about Perch's visit. When I received the phone call in the early hours of the morning, I knew that Perch was involved. A boy walking his dog had found a body. I rushed to the scene of the crime and discovered that it was old Perch. He'd been hit on the back of the head with a heavy object, just a few metres away from his home. I'll never forget the expression on his face. His lips smiled, and he looked happy. I like to think that he had met his wife after all. The money that he'd shown me had been stolen. The thief had also taken his wedding ring. A voice in my head kept saying,
"You see, I told you so."
Even though I had promised Perch not to look for the murderer, I had to do my job. Besides, I wanted to find the criminal and make him pay for what he had done. I spent all morning looking through the computer files for possible suspects, and I found plenty. It was such an easy job, robbing an old man. It could have been anyone. Marshall wanted to go and pay them a visit that very day, but I was tired. I had a headache, and I couldn't stop thinking of Perch and the tragic way he had died. I considered myself responsible. If only I had accompanied him home. If only I had convinced him to take the money to the bank. If only... Marshall and I questioned a few of our suspects. They all seemed to have an alibi, so nobody was arrested. Marshall was especially interested in finding the criminal. The death of the old man seemed to trouble him in some way. Days passed, and we were getting nowhere. I had taken this particular case to heart, and one day I even dreamt of old Perch. He was sitting on a park bench, next to a pleasant-looking woman. I presume that this was his wife. He lifted a hand and pointed at me.
"Remember your promise,"
he said.
"The thief will be punished. Have patience."
As in all dreams, I woke up before I had a chance to answer him. The next morning, I had an appointment with Marshall at the office. As I sat waiting, I heard a voice in my ear.
"Detective Galloway, don't forget your promise."
It was Perch's voice. I turned around expecting to find someone behind me, but there was nobody there. I was under pressure, and I needed to solve this case in a hurry. 3 days had passed since Perch's death. I had plenty of work to keep me occupied, but I could not stop thinking about old Perch. It was 10:30 when Marshall arrived, bringing me my mid-morning coffee and sandwiches. I wasn't hungry, so I told him to take a break himself. We talked about Perch. There was something that I hadn't told Marshall. Perch had showed me a note he had written for me and had wrapped it around the wad of money. In this, he explained how the thief would be punished. I was about to tell him about this when he said something that puzzled me. He said that he didn't think the thief would get the punishment that Perch had predicted. It was unlikely for someone to choke on a piece of bread. Exactly what Perch had written in his note. How did Marshall know about this? Unless he was the murderer. He sat in front of me, calmly eating the sandwiches. I stood up and demanded to know who had given him this information. When had he seen the note? His face grew white, and he realized that he had made a mistake. He tried to find an excuse. Then he suddenly started to cough. I waited for him to stop, but he didn't. He just carried on coughing and gasping for breath. I didn't know what to do. I tried hitting him hard on the back, but it was no use. I rushed to the office door and called for Patterson and Taylor. By the time they reached the office, Marshall lay on the floor. He was already blue in the face. Patterson pulled him to his feet, and I watched helplessly as they tried to force the piece of bread out of his throat. Yes, the piece of bread that Perch had warned me about. Unfortunately for Marshall, there was nothing that could be done to save him. Patterson lowered him to the ground, and we called the coroner. I suddenly felt ill. After Marshall's death, I made a few inquiries. Marshall had been a gambler. He had lost a lot of money in a poker game and had got into bad company. He had a long list of debts to pay, and some of his creditors were dangerous people. When he had seen the wad of notes that Perch carried about with him, he could not resist the opportunity of getting himself out of trouble. His uniform did not mean much to him. He was only interested in himself. This explained his concern and the reason why he was so interested in the case. The case had been solved without any help from me or my colleagues. Perch had been right, and now he could rest in peace.